There was one little point I forgot to discuss last time, and that's with regard to writing the word moso in the Ketubah. Now, I've given you some sources. Here, it's page 144, page 16 and 19 to 22. On page 144, all of the printed forms that I'm aware of don't have the word Musa. They don't have the word Musa, I presume, because the place that you're writing is lav dafke Musa. What the word Musa means is itself machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. It means just place. So you could always write Musa, or whether it's only a kvar and not a kvar, you don't write Musa. There was once, for curiosity, I probably should have run it off for you anyway. There was an article years ago in the Jewish Observer about the Kviyas Shem Monsi for Ksivas Gidin, whether you have writing Gidin and Monsi. In there was a little paragraph or two about the fact that one of the Pesachim was Meirer, that can you write Mosse for Monsi. Filler and Ma'ayin, and they decided that Monsi is also a Mosse. What their Havamina was, I don't know. Of course it's a Mosse. But that's besides the point. But if it's not big enough, the Shaila is how big is big, it's not called a Mosse for some reason. So that's why I presume they leave out the word Mosse. And you've got a problem if you're writing someplace which isn't a Mosse, and it's not a Kvar, it's not who knows what can you write up on that in a second. But if you look on page 144, the Ramos says that Neged, Kaisvin, Mosse, Plainis, Ben Shir Gedoilo, and Kitano. V'layichta if Plainis Mosse, Elo Mosse, Plainis. Says the Ramos that you write Plainis Mosse, V'layichta if Plainis Mosse, instead you write Mosse, Plainis. Says the Beis Shmuel that that makes a difference whether you're writing the Nahoris or you're not writing Nahoris. You write, if you're, it says, the nearly dafke kshikrisvin di yosve, oz kshikrisvin moso plainis di yasval nahar, so and so. Otherwise, you write plainis moso. So, since in Ksuba you don't write shem meis nahoris, so you should be writing plainis. Writing Mosse Plainis. So here there's a Bir Hagro. The Bir Hagro is very cryptic. In Sifkoten, where is it? Yud Aleph, he says, Avo Begolbe Morovish and Kpede, Beklinis Mosse, Besuri Mosse, Ubegitten, Beshuri Mosse, Vahule, Vahule. The whole Gidno Yekisn Chatchila Kain Vavagav Shomru Mosse Machzia Mikol Mokim Begidno Yekisvim Hashem Mikoidem. So he says that in Gitin they wrote Hashem Mikoidem, and there seems to be a Machlekes to be Shmuel in the Gro. If you look at the Igros Meisha that I gave you, you will see that the Igros Meisha says as Machlekes the Gro and the Beis Shmuel, that the Gro says that in Gitin you always do it, and it's lav dafke whether you're writing the Shem Hanor or you're not writing the Shem Hanor, and therefore he is Machria according to the Gro against the Beis Shmuel. The little point that I made, I don't know what it's, I probably didn't reproduce it, but the point that I made is that I think that that's not what the Gro means. I think that the Gro is telling you that this is a halacha in Ksivas Gitin, that he's quoting all the Gemaras and he's saying Mikol Mokim in Gitin, this is what they did. I think that he's telling you that that there are things. Everybody knows there's a difference between what you do verbally and what you do in writing. And there's a difference between what you do in writing and what you publish. A book is formal. And all kinds of halachas with regard to a sefer. The word sefer has certain connotations. For purposes of sefer Torah from Megillah, which is called the sefer, and sirtut, ule. Here you're dealing with a sefer krisus. A sefer krisus has a formal lashon. Lanias Daiti, the Groh is disagreeing only with regard to Gitin. And he says, Mikol Mokin Begitin, he emphasizes, Begitin Yekosvim, Hashem Mikoidim. In Gitin, they were medakti to write Plainis Mosa rather than Mosa Plainis. Every place else, it made no difference because it didn't have a din of a sefer. If that's the case, then the Groh is not chaylik with regard to Iksuva. But either way, whether you write Mosa first or Mosa afterwards, I mean, at worst, even for Moshe's right, there's the machlekes, the Beis Shmuel, and the Groh. There's David Kamarovi in Lithuania. They often paskin like the Groh against the Ramah. In Hungary, it was unheard of. Hungarian was certainly not being Makriya the way Rav Moshe was Makriya. So whichever you write, the only point is that if you write nothing, it shows you're in any idea, betiv subis at least, but they should have the word Mosa. Now, either Mosa Plaini or Plainius Mosa, whichever, it depends upon your hot world.
Rabbi saying the concern that was mentioned earlier, that maybe the place you're getting married doesn't qualify.
That's the next point of the thought. What place isn't the Mosa, so you can't write Mosa. There are very few places that aren't Mosa. I'm not going to enter into the sheer of what's called a Mosa, but about the only thing that we have in our day that's not a Mosa is a place that doesn't have a name altogether, or what I call the country club. Now, I use the country club because that's the closest that we have to what the Or HaShulchan talks about, and he calls it a kretchen. And it's in Kufroches, Sivkot, and Yudches. He talks about Kishi Yekia Hecher, going to get the Bote HaTzeris, Shal HaSodes. These Bote HaTzeris, as he calls them, we'll soon see what they were. They were farmers, or wherever they were out someplace, who knows. And it didn't have a name. It wasn't a place. It didn't have a name. Near it, it's a tzorach lichti, lumin shon monikan, bechotzer pleini, hasomuch lir pleinis mosa. The tzorach lichti get bekretchem. Now, the word kretchem I know only from him. I think it's the same that in my Yiddish we call it a kretchma. The kretchma may have been a diminutive of a kretchem. A kretchma was used in this country by people who spoke this Yiddish to mean any kind of a bar. But the kretchma was the place where Cardinal Glemp claimed the Jews made the Poles into drunkards. This was typical in Poland. The Poritz hired a Jew to run his whiskey concession. His whiskey concession came with an inn. They got him shikr there, but he was doing the shlichus of the Poritz. The Poritz needed somebody to run this business for him. The Jew was nobody to read and write and keep the shbeinus, so it became a Jewish concession. They were the innkeepers. They served whiskey and whatever else they served, and they also provided lodgings. It wasn't like a hotel, it wasn't the bar. The closest, and also these apparently had names. He said the kretchma had a name. It was in the middle of no place, a crossroad someplace. People needed a place to stop, or they needed a place to sleep. So that's where they built the kretchma. And these were what they called the yeshuvnikis. They lived there alone. They were in isolation. So the only thing that I know that comes close to this is the English pub. Now, a pub is either it's a shank, it's a simple bar, and there's some that aren't quite like that at all. In Oxford, behind the Bodleian Library, I hear tell, you're not admitted if you don't have an IQ of 150. It's called the King's Arms. And all the Oxford dons gather there for all kinds of things. But it's got a name. Every one of these places has a name. You don't go to the pub. You go to the King's Arms. That's when this place became Lion's Heart, whatever they were. So apparently in Poland, these kretchems had names. So it says the Or HaShulchan, if you're this kretchma, which is at the crossroads someplace, if you have to be in the Saturday get for the innkeeper, and he won't go to the city because the barons will fire him if he takes off from work. So he says, you write the kretchem plainly. He says, Ein loze mil mucheres loy blosh na kesh le baramis. I'm sorry, you don't write the kretchem plainly. You write the King's Arms. Not the pub called the King's Arms, but you're right, King's Arms. Now, if you extrapolate from that, and you have a hotel that's in some places which isn't a kvar and isn't a mosque, but in this country you usually have townships or who knows what. We don't have a word in Lashon Kodesh for township. Or if you live in, I understand that there's Baltimore County and Baltimore City. And Baltimore County doesn't have incorporated municipalities. I may be wrong on the facts, but that's what they told me. You don't write county because we don't have a Shem Kodesh for county. Mechuz doesn't mean anything. So you've got a problem for the Aruch HaShulchan. Or you have so townships and whatever else the county is that you don't write. So what do you write? Says the Aruch HaShulchan that if you're in a country club, you should join. I don't know how you say country club in Hebrew. So you write if it's the Burning Cross. Was that place outside of Washington? Is that what they call it? Burning Cross, Burning Tree. In Virginia, where all the lobbyists take their clients. The name of the place, no country club, the Burning Bush, or whatever it's called. If it's the Hilton that's there, we have a perfectly good word in Hebrew for Hilton. I don't know why you can't say Malone. But those are problems, Liz. You have to be aware of the problem. To resolve it, there were some other things. Yes.
What about if you're doing it in one of these gated private communities
it's a shruna. We don't write a shruna.
Even if it's completely fenced off.
So what? It's a difference. So you have a fenced off, you write in the house,
but
it's also fenced off.
It has a name.
So it has a name. Buildings have a name. Don't write the Empire State Building. The Empire State Building has a name. Don't write the Empire State Building. Names of buildings you don't use. Don't have such things.
The only time you write the name of the hotel is if it's in an unincorporated area.
Yeah, right. And then you write Hasomuch to wherever the nearest city is.
Oh.
So you write Ploini, whatever the name of that correct, the Lion's Heart, Somuch to wherever the nearest city was. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan is Makriya. Look where that's what we should be writing. Townships and counties, we don't write for no other reason than he says you don't write Kretchen. We don't have a word in the Lashon Kodesh for things like that. Okay, Adkan, we were already holding, if I remember correctly, we finished the Ksuba last time, and we were now ready for things like Yichud Eidim. Okay, now. I gave you sources with regard to Yichud Eidim. Let me first draw your attention to the Avnei Miluyim. The Avnei Miluyim Simon Mem Beis, he quotes the Rosh, the Ritva. Basically, they're dealing with a problem. If Nimzechem and Korva Kosol applies to Eidim Kiyuma, then in every chuppah you have Eidim Sulim, so you have a Nimsa Echad Mehem, Korov Eposel. If you have a Nimsa Echad Mehem, Korov Eposel, so you have a chuppah that doesn't have Eidim Sherim. So what is the Eitzah? So the Rosh and the Rizvah deal with a simple case. You have somebody who's borrowing money and they're Eidim, but they're also Psulim around. So it means that he will never have Eidim afterwards because if they pass in the Riyah, so afterwards it's Nimzeh HaKar of the Apostle. Says the Rosh, that Lav Kol Kaminei, that the person is Miyachid Eidim to witness the transaction, others don't have the power to claim that they were present, and therefore it's Nimzeh HaKar of the Apostle. They cannot be included among the Eidim if the Baldin was Miyachid particular aiding. Even this, the Avnei Miluyim, he quotes the Ktzais, which he wrote before, and his Loshen of the Avnei Miluyim is the Loshen of a Chumra. If I'm not mistaken, he says, Roy v'nochen las iskein. He doesn't think it's Likuvah. Now, that's right, that's the purpose of Yichud Eidim, your Miyachid is Eidim, and that's so that the others can't passel with the din of Koruv Eposel. Now, there is a new practice which has arisen, and I think I gave you sources. It's attributed to Reb Chaim. I also have Xerox and Afike Yom, which won't be distributed today simply because it wasn't run off in advance, but it'll be in next year's package. The source of the Reb Chaim is the Afike Yom. You have other sources there. But actually, this turns out that Reb Chaim was quoting a dayan in Minsk who proceeded to say that based upon this Loshen, the Loshen of the Rosh, you also have to disqualify in one way or another the sharing. The lotion of the Rosh is Kol Sheyichid es Aksherim Vahitzi es Vahakherim is his lotion. If you are Mitzi, the Akherim, then it's Lav Kol Mine. He has the phrase Vahitzi es Akherim, which Reb Chaim understood as meaning that you somehow have to disqualify all the others. Now, I have heard of Chassidish Chasnas, don't ask me where they get it from, they certainly get it from Reb Chaim. I've heard them say, in Allah Andre Verin Gepasselt. Exactly what that means, I don't know. Gepasselt, I presume that means, or I'm excluding. They don't become psulim. I just don't want them. It's a strange kind of lotion. I understand what they mean. That for these purposes, they are being disqualified. They're using the word psul, not in the sense of psul the chomel, it's not psul the kurva. Disqualified, because I'm disqualifying, subjective disqualification. The English version is to the exclusion of all others. Now, this is all very nice, and Reb Chaim said it. I have 2 points. My first point is, La Nias Daiti, I think Reb Chaim is wrong. I think he's wrong because he misread the Rosh. I don't think that when the Rosh says, Vahitzis Acherim, that you have to actually be Meitzi the Acherim. I think that it's a Peil Yetzer. If I'm Yafik Sherim, the Psulim are automatically excluded. What makes me say that? Because if I'm wrong, then there's another Machlekes Rishonim. Because the same Loshen of the Rosh is in other Rishonim, including Ritva, and doesn't say Vayis Yisrael. So either they disagreed with the Rosh and they agreed with me, that if you're Miyachid the Ksherim, that's enough. Or that's what the Rosh means also. I mean, we've got a principle, Lafushi Machlekes. We don't make more Machlekes than we have to. But okay, Reb Chaim certainly thought that the Rosh meant this. Whether you consider the Machlekes or not, I don't know. Reb Chaim, if you would consider the Machlekes, still would have told you Yafnei Cheshit Shvashitas Rosh. Makes no difference whatsoever, but I would prefer to read the Rosh this way. Now, what really bothers me, again, why should I begrudge people their chumras? My problem is this item that appeared in the Allgemeine Journal in 1990. That goes back a long time ago. I don't think many of you were reading the Allgemeine Journal in 1990. The headline is, Zayin de'edi k'dusha b'dechupe fun Rav Shach's einikol gewen kosher. What happens? Rav Shach's einikol gets married, and they discover afterwards that one of the eidim was related to somebody or other, I think to the other eid, enough to create problems. So problem is whether it's a kosher chuppah or wasn't. So what did they do? They took two other eidim, they took the tabas kedusha, it was the same night before the sukkah was over. It says, harev kedeshusli over again. Not terrible at all. But it's something that can happen. The eidim can turn out to be eidim psulim. So do you have eidim or don't you have eidim? In terms of basic halacha, forget about these people who are miyachid eidim and excluding everybody else. They have a series of tshuvas. There's a Chavos Yoyer. We don't have time, Poshet. I go through the whole shaila in the Chavos Yoyer. But he was dealing with a case in which it turned out that one of the eidim was apostle, and the Chavos Yoyer said, you have eidim kedushin. Where do you have eidim kedushin? Because min hogeinu, as soon as the chosen gives the tabas to the kala, everybody says mazel tov. And he holds you don't have to see the Maseiros of tabas, mamish, like the Beis Shmuel seems to say, like that Nevi'im seems to say. But he says that this is enough. The people heard mazel tov. They know that there was a chuppah, and there had to be ksherim back out there someplace. So the eidim ksherim are sufficient. There's a chsam sefer goes even further. He says that, forget the mazel tov. He says, even if you were standing in the back of the room, if the rov was a yideya, betiv gitin v'kidushin chazok al chover, you know that there had to be a mesiras at tabas. What did they come here for? So anybody in the room is an eid kosher. Now, this turns out to be not only a kul, but a chumra. You can well imagine. When you want to annul the marriage because you've got an aguna problem. Now, on the basis of the Chavos Yoyer and the Chsam Sofer, it's pretty hard. On the basis of other considerations, if you're dealing with Yichud Eidim and you excluded everybody else, that's easy to puzzle somebody. You puzzle somebody, puzzle one of the Eidim, and that's all there is. Now, if that's the game, then you presume that you're very happy with regard to all of this. But if that's not what you want, if you want Eidim sharing, then you do want a fail-safe mechanism, so that the ones who are miyachid somehow are psulim. As one Rosh Hashiva, I won't be megalah his name. It took me a while to figure out what was happening here, but at every chuppah he disappears. I know he's afraid they'll ask him to be an aid fiducia, and he thinks he's possible. I mean, that's a hard apostle. I'm right. I know he's, you know, the ones who think they're apostles are the ones who are kosher. I'm worried about the ones who think they're kosher and aren't. So, but in the hall, there has to be a 280 chair in some place. So the fail-safe position is that at least one of the others will be an aid kosher. But if he has said to the exclusion of all others, then you're in big trouble because you said nobody else except these two. Now you can have your cake and eat it too. You can have your chumra and not have any problems. And that is if you go back to the Binyan Siyan. I can't remember the name of the pages. What page is the Binyan Siyan on? It's in this section in the package. And here the lotion is significant because... Okay. The Binyan Siyan also followed the same business with debating. Only Binyan Siyan chooses his words very, very carefully. They had the higher dating. The coal was manating, so you should have cherry. But they discovered that the ones who were manu were possible. Yireh hakidushin, kol mi shekosheloi. Ubazeh hoitzia plui mechal veidus. He learned the Rosh the way I learned the Rosh. Please note this lotion. Where did he get hoitzia? Ubazeh hoitzia psulim. He's quoting. He should put quotations around it. The word vahoitzia psulim comes directly from the Rosh, and he's saying not like Reb Chaim. He's reading the Rosh the way I read the Rosh. That being miyachid cherim is enough. So he should be miyachid all the cherim. Fine. So my etzah based upon the Binyan Siyan is that the Mesader Kedushin should say, do you want to be miyachid plainly and plainly as Edim? And the answer is yes. And then you say, and do you want to exclude those who are otherwise disqualified, allowing anyone else to be an aid kedushin? He asks two questions. Or you can turn it into one question if you like. Do you want to be miyachid these two together with any others who may be qualified to the exclusion of only those who are disqualified, the exclusion of all others, to the exclusion of those who are unqualified, disqualified, whatever it is. So then you'll have, you know, Shalom on Yisrael, you have everything that everybody needs. Okay? Let's see Yisrael.
Rabbi, is Rabbi not preferring the exact question of the Binyan Siyan because that sounds like you want all the chair?
I would be happy with his lotion. Why don't I want his lotion? Because you destroyed two kibbutim, and you're taking away people's chumras. That's what we go. They want to be miyachad edim. You're saying I'm being miyachad kolak sheir. Yeah, and you two happen to be kolak norim. You actually see, and they don't. So you have to see the basira mamish. At least the two people seeing. But you made them it's kabbalish mamish. What kind of kibbut is this? So I'm letting you have your COVID or whatever you want.
And so Rabbi in the past had mentioned the flight of Shash that comes up also in Yelda's Gittin if you say Kol HaCherim, so then if you give a dafka, it might be sounding like you want all the cherim to be made and that
I don't think I said it that way. I think the lotion that I would use would be a simple lotion that I'm Yachid Pliny and Pliny. And I am excluding only those who are disqualified. And anyone else, you see, pick up your own lotion. I don't care. I mean, I don't think I've made a formula. But the lotion should be that I'm yachid these two, and I am disqualifying the psulim. Anybody who's a kosher is okay. Okay? Yeah.
Could
you refer to
the lotion that would be used at the kufa itself?
Yes, at the kufa. That's the lotion that you could eat. Yes?
That's
a psalm cipher. But if I disqualify them, what good does it do?
But that's
what
I mean. All you need is ADD
anyway. Nobody argues. That's a machloikas upright. I don't want to enter into that. That's why you have the 280 standing there. Otherwise, you don't call them up in the first place.
But if one of them is going to be possible, we're going to rely on the pastor's silver, we're going to need to assume that ADD is enough without being a serious enough.
Yeah. Right.
And that's
some slave from the Chavis Yosef? Sure. That's your fallback position. Your fallback position is that any other kosher is also an aid, and if he didn't see it, you know, if the cherim weren't there to see it, you don't have to rely that the ID are enough. Yeah. Okay? Now, I also hear tell. Yeah?
In the case of a religious partner versus non religious couple, are you going to want to pick one side or the other and say we're going to be these two and we'll exclude everybody else? So just in case we're going to run into some hidden issues, we're already making a provision because these people might not get a kosher get.
So you want to be miyachid psulim?
I mean, should you do the dafka be miyachid psulim?
That was the next thing I was going to talk about. I hear tell that there are people who recommend in these circumstances, we're dealing with people who aren't becheskas kashrus, and you're afraid there'll be a separation, divorce, minus a get, that you should be miyachad edim psulim, so that there is no kedushin to start with. As far as I'm concerned, yishtakach adovim v'layomer, I can't believe any bar samach ever said it. And you have it here in the back, actually, in the name of Shlomo Zalman. But in a different form. He didn't say quite this way. I'll come to that in a second. Number one, I don't think that this is proper. He had a different form, and he says not to do it wholesale. I have a number of problems with this. Number one, I presume that these people have come to you because whatever else they are, they don't want the Isser of Ponei Habala Pnuya. They may not express it that way, but that's what they came here for. Just because he's an Avarian doesn't mean that Olam Chayte V'loi Loi. I mean, Lahanos Yitzri, there's all kinds of things, but if you can have Bos Shkuta, he's not a Mumer Lahachis. We don't have Mumer Lahachis. Mumer L'Teyoven, Tinekanishpe, a Mumer Lahachis isn't going to call you to be Mishav Kedush. Unless he's happy, unless he wants to make an old grandfather happy or something. But those are few and far between. So these people are coming because they don't want the Yisr Poneh Bola Pnuya. What do you want to be Mashlim in that also? In addition to all the other Yisrim, because you're worried about what's going to happen 20 years down the line. Number two, and what about the Birchas Eris and the Birchas Nesuim? If not, married is a Baruch Levatola. So the Maidin Yuzmanim says, don't make a Baruch, or don't say the Shevu Malchus. You be Masada Kiddush without saying the Shevu Malchus. I know that we have Amaratzim, but that kind of Amaratzis, you're not going to get away with. It doesn't happen. Beyond that, what about the fee that you take for Seder Kiddushim? I presume that the fee is for supervising the Kiddushin so that it is Kiddin. Now, I'll come in a moment, I'll show you people say that that the fee is for something else. I don't know exactly what. Maybe it's the Schar Broch. You're not making a Broch either. The Broch is a Broch Levatola. How do you take money for a Broch Levatola? What, they're paying you for singing or whatever else you're doing under the foot. But I don't think that that's quite right. And then, according to some Sefer, remember, they're married anyway. Unless you're going to Meachid the Psulim to the exclusion of all others. With all the Chumras. I mean, this is a little bit strange to me. And beyond that, I'm not sure you solved the iguna problem, because remember, they had a ceremony and they're living together, and you've got a chazok of enormous bilos and bilos nuts. Does it apply to psulim who think they're married? That is problematic. And in addition, one of the things that I didn't talk about last time, but with regard to the Zman, they quote Rosh Shlomo Zalman as saying, you write the earlier Zman, they'll use the Ksuba to prove when the Chasm occurred, and maybe in between she was the Kabbalah Kedushin and somebody else. You'll do one of these Chuppis, and then she'll be Kabbalah Kedushin from somebody else, and they'll say that the second, they're both on Mavutl because she's Neshazish. I really don't think that's really a shash. But that's one thing you have to worry about. But if you're worrying about all the strange things that can happen, that's something that certainly could happen. So for all of those reasons, I don't think it's a very good idea to see to it that you have a chuppah that's no chuppah, or better, that you have kiddushin that aren't valid kiddushin. But that's a minor point. Now, let me go on to one very topical issue, and that is whether the rov can be one of the eidei kiddushin. I've already pointed out in a different context that in the Orei Hasoda, the Rav sometimes has trouble finding a second aid who is also kosher la'edus, assuming that the Rav is kosher la'edus, trouble finding a second one who is kosher la'edus. And certainly if he has to find two, then it's much more difficult. The real issue is, can the Rav himself be an Eidei Kiddushin? The Yad HaLevi quotes Rav Avrom Bing, who says that the Mesader Kiddushin can't be an aid, and Yad HaLevi says, Tamo Lo Yadati. Now, Rav Avrom Bing was a Talmud of Moshe Adler, if I remember correctly. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yankiv Ettlinger and of Bamberger, Zoltan Bamberger. He was the Godel in Germany at the time. And the Yad HaLevi is simply repeating what he heard from Avraham Bin and Taimo Lo Yodana. The Binyan Sin, who is also a Talmud, responds to the Yad HaLevi and says, I don't know why he said it, but I can tell you why. Now, he didn't hear it from him, but it's because he's a Negeya Beidusa, or at least the Rav Avrom Bing must have thought that he's a Negeya Beidusa, and a Negeya is Pasul Eidus. And then he proceeds to disagree. And he says he's not a Negeya Beidus. Now, what kind of Negeya Beidus is he? Then what's the Shaila here? The Shaila is a Choshen Mishpat Shaila. Let me just finish this one. Come on. It's a Choshen Mishpat Shaila. I have the following case. You're hired to be Mesader Kiddushin. And they pay you a fee, whatever the fee is. I don't know what the fee is. They pay the fee for Mesader Kiddushin. And then afterwards you discover that the Kiddushin weren't valid. For whatever reason, the Kiddushin weren't valid. Maybe she was already an Eshesish. Kiddushin weren't valid because they're Eidei Psuli. I don't know why. Now the Chosen comes to Din Torah. He wants his money back. Is he entitled to his money back, or is he entitled to his money back? To me, it sounds like a Dover Poshuk is entitled to his money back. What's he paying you for? Why do you need a roof to be beside a Kiddushin? What's he doing there? Well, he's making the brachis. They shall levayish mishen yudeya. The Shamus can do that. The Chazan seems nicer than the roof, I hope. So what's the roof doing here? You need a Rav. The Rav is somewhat less important than the caterer. He's a fifth wheel. He's there for only one reason. To make sure that things are done kedas v'kedin. There should be a chupik sheira. That's what he's paying the fee for. He's getting skar batola. He's not entitled to more than skar batola. It's skar batola. He's like the attorney supervising a wheel avdol. He's there supervising it. It goes kedin. Now, if that's true, he's certainly in the gay of Eidus. Now, the Binyan Sin apparently didn't think so. He thought that the Rav was getting Skar Broch or something. So he has a nice voice. That means nobody should ever hire me to be Mesader Kiddushin. Find a chazan to be Mesader Kiddushin. Somebody with a nice voice. What do you need a foghorn for? If you're paying Skar Broch, you can get better for less money. What kind of business is this? So I think what the basic machloikis is, what is the fee for? Is he negei beidus or isn't he a negei beidus? Now, if he is a negei beidus, because lachzugi debura, he's got to have his negei, should be kosher. The mele is automatically possible to eidus if he takes a fee. So the only eitza is for him not to take a fee. So number one, I'd be mekapeach, people's pranos, I don't want to do that. Number two, I'll give you a hisnatzlus, why you shouldn't refuse the fee, even if you are the Mesader Kiddushin. It's a story that I've told before. I heard it from Yankiv Kamenetsky, Zecharim Levrach. He said it in the Musar Shukus of all places. When he was a Rav in Toronto, Wachosin once didn't give him the fee. He followed him to the train station to collect the fee. They were on the honeymoon. He went to collect his fee, and he was sure that the Chosin thought he was an ambulance chaser, and he was Megale the Tam. Why did he go? He was Cheshish for the Meshish Dover, who's talking about a shot. And this is probably a bigger shaila for Abadim, who are always involved in Shiduchim. The Meshiz Dover says you can be a Shatchin for people who aren't a Nizr and Taras and Mishpacha only Bischar, not Bechinom. Just as you can't give a piece of bread to somebody who won't make a Bracha and won't bench, you can't give it to a Bechinom, but you can sell it to him. Those are shailas of Lifneiver. He held that this was a shaila of Lifneiver, and therefore, according to Meshiz Dover, he's allowed to do it only if he accepts money. one of the Bnei HaChabura, who apparently heard this on tape, was Ma'erer, that the difference is that basically, according to Mishnah Melech, in Hilchos Malva V'Loive, there's always a leaf niver, even if another Jew would do it, because someone's going to be a leaf niver. It's only if a guy is ready, willing, and able, available to do it, then somebody could do it without an issur of leaf niver. And in this case, no guy can be Mesavik Kedushin. Therefore, Mahu Ilu Chachomi. Now, the answer to that is really very simple. The Mishnah Melech says it, and it's true. For Mishnah Melech, there is no difference. You can't apply the Meshiv Dover to this. However, the Mishnah Melech is not Muskan Kol Hashitas among the modern Paiskim, the Ksav Sefers, the Chelet, you'll take the Stechemet, there are all kinds of Marochis about whether it's true, whether it's not true. I don't want to go into that in detail. We're not here to talk about Leif Neiver, but I'm sure that Rabbi Yanki was being soimich on the other sheet is connected, the Mishnah Lamela. That's beside the point. Incidentally,
Rabbi, the svar being that if you don't take the fees, then it's Leif Neiver because they're not.
You're not going to find a Messiah Kedusha. Now, there's one other point I should make, and that is forget the Ksav Sefer, forget all the Chalukim in Ksav Sefer, even the Mishnah Melech himself. He's Mavliyid Ben Hashar. He says that there still is this nafkaminus, not overleaf neither, if another Yisrael will do it because he doesn't know it's usher. What people don't think is usher. His example is ribbis. People think it's only the leiva who's think it's only the malva who's over. They think the leiva and the eighty aren't over. And since the inche, it's they don't, so they'll find somebody to do it because people don't know that there's an Yisrael of leaf neither. No. Besides Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky, how many people thought there was Nisr of Neiver being Masada Kedushin for people who are Nisr and Taras and Shvoche? Anybody who hasn't been through this process is presumably unaware of it and didn't occur to them. It doesn't occur to them as a Shia with Neiver. They're going to find people to be Masada Kedushin if you'll be Masada Kedushin. There are Rabbonim, and again, this is a matter of policy. I'm not talking about the broad policy. I think it depends where you are. There's Rabbonim who absolutely refuse to be Masada Kedushin unless the Kala goes to the mikveh before the Chuppah. What happens afterwards is something. What happens afterwards? And that's all. Again, is it a wise policy? I'm not going to enter into that. I certainly think it's a wise policy when you know they'll go around the corner and find somebody else. Then you've made the point. You've forgotten about the fee. I hope you're not interested in the fee. But you've taught them something, even if they get married. But it's loyti shtapach at least. If you're out in the Ori Hasoda and there's nobody else, it's a separate issue. And I leave that for some other forum. Now, it's a serious shot. I'm not trying to palm it off, but no, it's not my problem today. The Leif Neiver Shilas, and you'll have more Shilas of Leif Neiver that are personal in nature than you'll have Shilas with Kiddushin. Rabbi Yomi Adler has made many excellent svarim. This is Minyam, this is Yitzchok, it must be, I don't know, maybe more than one Adler. There's this little sefer, Leif Neiver. If you want this particular Shilas, Machlokes, the Mishnah Lamelech, and the other Paiskim, and the limitations of the application of Mishnah Melech is Peri Gimel in Adler's Leif Neiver. It's a treasure trove. I mean, the whole Sefer is a treasure trove. Okay, so we've got now, to be Lotzeis Yedei HaKoel, I don't quite know. All that I'm pointing out is that there are Shilas and Achrenim, whether a Rov who is collecting a fee is kosher to be one of the AD Kedushin. So obviously, the Eitze, if it's feasible, is to get two other AD in the Rov. Why do you have to mark yourself the Machlaikas? If you have others, it's even better. Okay. So now we are ready with the Yichud Eidim. We've now been the Yichud Eidim, and you're ready to make Birkas Erisin. Before you make Birkas Erisin, you have to fill the cup with wine. Again, one of the Bnei HaChabura has urged me to talk about the shear of the case. Why, that's my business, I don't really know. After all, long before you were in Sada Kedushin, you were making Kiddush, and you had to have a case for Kiddush. So whatever the shear was for Kiddush is the shear for the case of Erisin. But I'm perfectly willing to run through the shittas for you, particularly since I went to look, I couldn't find anybody who was merakes all of the shittas with regard to the shir revis. I have people who are merakes with regard to tefach and amo, units of length, but I don't have anybody who's merakes all of them with regard to liquid measures. The biggest cooler is Reb Chaim Noy. He says that the shear is 86 cc. The 86 cc works out to 3.03 ounces roughly. I take no responsibility for being accurate to three and four places in the measurements I'm giving you here. I don't take any responsibility for my mathematics. I didn't have them checked, but I figured out it's a trifle more than 3 ounces according to Reb Chaim Noy. That's the shear of a reviz for him using the equivalent of 28.41 cc to an ounce. It's actually a trifle more than 28.31, which 4.41, which is why I've been trying to round off a little bit higher. So that's Reb Chaim Noy. It's the biggest kula, a little bit more than 3 ounces. Reb Moshe is quoted. I don't have a biksav in any of his tshuvas. Although, at least certainly not both of them. He has two shearing, where they come from, I'm a little bit misopic. He has one shear in ounces. He doesn't talk about cc's, thank heavens. He had enough to the conversions. He says that the shear for arba cases is 3.3, except for the keshal kiddush and kiddush on Shabbos. L'chumra, since that's ikrei deraisa, even though it's a travona, but ikrei deraisa, zochish and Shabbos l'katshay, he says it's 4.42 ounces. I suppose he'd be making the case of Eris and the case of Sheva Brochus for 3.3 ounces. Then comes the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says it's 150 cc using the conversion of 28.41. It's approximately 5.25 ounces. It's more than 5 ounces, about 5.25 ounces. That's the shear of the Chazon Ish. Then we come to other shiurim. There are two other shiurim. One is Mefursim, that's the shiur of Shmuel Salat, quoted by the Stipler in his Gunter Sashiurim. And he doesn't give me a shiur in liquid measure. He tells me the shiur in units of length, but Rabbi Spira has converted them for us. And he, based on his calculations, it's 168 cc's, right? 168. Point eight, right? Right, which is a problem. 168 to 169. Okay, fine. Which works out to 5.95 ounces, approximately. Again, not to the third decimal places. It's approximately 6 ounces. Now, why do I emphasize the shear of Shmuel Salat? Not because of Shmuel Salat, frankly, but the Rashba has a shear, and the Rashba is a Rishon. He's the only Rishon I have altogether. It turns out that for Shmuel Salat, the shear of an amo is 23.49. I presume that the Meichri Tzitzis, who tell you an amo of 24, they think they're following Reb Shmuel Salat. According to Chazon Ish, it's 22.81, and 23 inches would be enough. However, there's the Shitas HaRashba, which says that it's 53.49 inches, which means that for him, or 59.66 centimeter. For the Chazon Ish, 60 centimeters, 23.62. Now, I didn't do the mathematics for the Rashba. Rabbi Spira knows the equation. He'll tell you how to get cc's from centimeters, the shear of a reviz from the shear of its boys, and it would turn out that for the Rashba, the shear is also a little bit under 6 ounces. So you have those shittas. Now there's one further shita, and that's the Tosis Yontif. The Tosis Yontif says that the shear of a reviz is 240 cc's, which works out to approximately 8.42 ounces. Now, in addition to drink so much, problem is, where do you get a glass that holds more than 8 ounces unless you get a beer mug? A beer mug is already 16 ounces and doesn't look very nice. Now the stipler says that the Tosfos is a Shir Mufros. He never heard of anybody being Choshish for it. It's pretty much discounted. But that's the Shir. The biggest Shir out there is about 8.5 ounces. Now you want to know which Shir to follow. I'm very tempted to give you the stipler's gematria. His gematria for the Chazon Ish of 150, big gematria, Kais Hogun. It's a nice way to remember this year anyway. Kais Hogun. Hogun. Kais Hogun. Ani la'atzmi. It's not because of Rav Shmuel Salant, even though he was Saimachan in Kula, and I think that the Bechri Tzitzis think that's the halacha, but I'm concerned with the Rashba, who's just a little bit less. The Rashba is Sof Kosof, the only Rishon I see quoted here. Everything else starts with Acharonim, yeah. Which is, you know, 6 ounces. It's also pretty good. Yeah.
The says, I don't know the Shem Maravadia, but that the Hainashir is based on the Rambam's mission in Dirham.
Yeah, but you see, these are derivations. You're telling me all kinds of things I have to accept. I don't know on the basis of what. That you know what the Dirham is, v'chule. Well, of course it all is. Everybody's based on Rishayim. Only they don't have the, you know, you're right. I'm not going to enter into an analysis of how you derive the particular shear for the very simple reason that I don't know how many of these people derive the particular shear, because I don't have the patience or the time or the mathematical stamina to go work all of this stuff out. These are things that you can't do on Shabbos. There's no way to do it on pencil paper. Even the Rashbam and Arvi Pesachim, I wouldn't want to have to learn on Shabbos. That's where the mathematics all starts. But you're all working on one assumption upon another assumption, and yes, they're all Yesedim Bahari Kedish, only the ones that seem to be most of the Furish are the ones that I gave you, including the Rashba, for whatever reason. Again, the shitas are there. We're not going to create new shitas or be makriya between the shitas, except in Maisa, you're going to have to choose which one you accept. I think that the minig ha'olam, by the olam I mean the olam ha'yeshivas, is not to be machmer more than the Chazon Ish, although people who are choshish for Rav Shmuel Salant, and I think for the Shitas of Rashba, which I think is even more important, I certainly think it's Roy Venochen. So what? Drink a little more wine. What's the big deal? It's not hard to get a case that holds 6 ounces. There's no chiv to have a silver becher.
I don't know if it's drinking the whole cup.
I'll talk about that. We'll talk about drinking the cup now too. I was asked this morning about how much of the cup to drink. I was meant to save it for after the Birkas Erison, because don't drink till after Birkas Erison. But okay, not chronologically. How much do you have to drink? The sheer team is Moli Lugmov. But once you drink Moli Lugmov, you're already into a Sofik Brocha Chreine. So Yerei Shemayim brings a Raviz instead of a Moli Lugmov. So you're back now to the Shaila of how much is the Shear of Raviz. And you have the Shaila every time you drink a glass of soda. Do you make a Brocha Chreine? Don't you make a Brocha Chreine? Now, the problem is you have to drink Moli Lugmov in the first place. The Achreinim talk about it not so much in Hilchus Erison Nisuin, but in Hilchus Mila, the case of Mila. Although there's one source I'll tell you in a moment, which is limited to Erison Nisuin. Basically, the Olam is relying on Taz Reisam Achesiv Kodin Yud B'Shem Atashbats that you don't need Mole Lugmov. And there's some Achreinim who say the case Shal Erison doesn't, because it doesn't the case altogether. The case Shal Nisuin does, because it's Bitzan Adin. There's a Mordechai, there's a Chochmas Odom, lots of Peskin will maintain that you're mechuyev to drink a shear of Moli Lugmov. And I found, again, it wasn't Xerox for today, I don't remember which of the compendia it is, but in the footnote, I found Minhoge Chabad. I never knew there was a sefer called Minhoge Chabad. But in the sefer Minhoge Chabad, it says that there are machbid that somebody should drink a shear of Moli Lugmov, which to me means a whole raviz. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the Rav. He says that you should give somebody else to drink the kais someplace in the corner or what have you. So, I mean, there are places who maintain that you have to drink the whole shear. And why not? The only problem is, how can you stand there and drink the whole shear? I was going to talk about after Birkas Erison, about licking it at least for the very Priyal Gofen, but that's only for the shear of Teimah. But certainly I've never seen a Masada Kedushin drink a Moli Lugnov. I have seen Chassanim drink Moli, drink Reviz, and sit down under the chuppah and make a Baruch HaKorina. They were all brisket. Otherwise, I think the Eilom out there is Seimech on the Taz and the Tashbats. I don't know what's wrong with seeing to it that somebody drinks the whole amount. I don't know what's wrong. The Marsham. The Marsham says the Chosn and Kalish shouldn't drink Moli Lugmov because there'll be a Shaila afterwards and the Kiddush if you become Shikuri. Now, whoever the source was cites him and says Tzorach Ian. Now, his Tzorach Ian is a Loshin Sagim. What's happening here is this is post facto. Now, he knows people aren't drinking Moli Lugmov, so he's trying to look for a Hisnatzlis. Even if it was the Tesis Yontif shear of wine, 20% port, you're not going to get to Shikrusa Shalot. There won't be a Shailan de Kiddushin if the Chosin drinks that much before he's Mekadish Dish. But some Arsham, he's explaining why the Minig Eilim was not to do it. Okay, but does not be the Chosin, let the Shabbos, give it to the Shabbos, if you have a Shabbos. Let him go off in the corner, they're taking it away, sit down someplace on the side, and he gets the wine to his heart's content. Okay, so now we're ready for we filled the cup, we're now ready for the Birkas Erison. Microphone. Are you Masada Kedushin on the microphone? Basically, the Rav is being Meitzi the Chosin with the Bracha. And you need 10 people, Chatchila certainly, so you have to have 10 people who can hear. Oh yes, I forgot one other shayla. It wasn't distributed today. It comes from Rav Moshe Sternbuch, his Sefer Minhagei Agro. One of the things he says in general, he thinks that he sees smart, of course. You should drink Moli Lugmov, at least he thinks it's proper. And he says he's not sure you should give the Chosin the Christ to drink any altogether. There are a lot of Peskin who say there's no reason to give it to the Chosin to drink. Let the Rav drink it altogether. So he has a Shaila. How can I give the Chosin the wine to drink? He may be Machal Shabbos first. And he's not allowed to drink the wine. So I mean, over leaf there. So his Shaila is a Machal Shabbos allowed to drink the wine that he has touched? When I saw it for the first time, it reminded me of a story that I heard of Reb Meir Don Plotsky, the Chimdas Yisrael, the Klechem Ban Chumish. Reb Meir Don was here, it must have been in the late 20s, early 30s. He was Rosh Hashiva in the Sifta of Varsha. He came to raise money. He wasn't terribly successful. He came at the same time as Reb Meir Shapiro, who was tremendously successful, because Reb Meir Shapiro was an orator. Reb Meir Shapiro gave him half. Gave him half. But when he was here, there were a whole batch of interesting shaylas that repeated from him. One person came to him, he was in Europe, he was a sheikh. In America, he worked in the needle trade, and he was a Machal Shabbos, in the garment area. And the shochet in America weren't terribly great. So he goes to Reb Meir Don and says he can't eat from the shechita of whoever is shechting in his neighborhood. He wants to, he's a shechita from Europe, he's a mumcha. Can he eat from his own shechita because he's a machal shabbos? Okay? That's what Meir Don answered, I don't know. But that's a different kind of shaila from this shaila. Here the shaila is a mumer, the shaila is, can he eat from his own shkita? Is the shkita also in the veiler? Here you want to know in the gzeir of Stam Yenom, did they make the gzeir from the mumer himself? You're asering Stam Yenom, but gzeir Rabbono. Did they aser to the mumer also? So Rav Sternbuch, he's got a raya, I don't understand this, Ephelon. He has a raya from Gmar Chikuch HaBez on the Bez, Oichlin Mashkin, that are in a Keil, Klicheris, Mukaf, Somit Posel, Rebbe Shammai says, are mutter to the Amoritz, because he won't listen to you anyway. So he thinks it's all the same. First of all, Beisul HaChelik, And number two, I'm not sure even the one gzeira to the other gzeira. What's Ma'amoritz supposed to eat? He's not Ma'amoritz. He's not going to be an Ma'amoritz. And the Mumer, who says he wants to drink wine, he's not going to drink wine. But that's beside the point. But then he says he's got an Eitzel. If he's right, the Rov, when he buys the bottle of wine, he thinks the Rov is buying the wine, not the Gator, he should be Mizaki at Bishas Kinyin to the Chosin, because afterwards he has to make a Kinyin Mamish, and that doesn't work. So he thinks that it depends upon who owns the wine. I don't think that that's in the Gemara for Bishan. I think it's whatever that Mordechai has in Bishusle, whether he's the Bailim or not the Bailim. They didn't want to answer the Eichlin to the Amorites. So they didn't want to answer what the Mumer touches. What difference does it make who owns the wine? It's they answered the Maga Mumer for everybody else, not to the Mumer. In any event, use the Ayin Kedusha. Or, if you're, you know, or be some Mechan the Paiskim who think that these Mechalei Shabbos don't have a din of a Mumer. Okay, that's, I consider that just an interesting sideline, because for a chuppah you're probably better off with Yayin Mevushal anyway, for other people around, not only for the chosn. Okay, now back to the Birkas Erisin and the microphone. Can you be mitzi somebody on a microphone? So it's a yes or no answer, isn't there? So wherever there's two possibilities, you have three sheets. Here you have one sheet that says that of course you can. That's the Minchas Elazar, and later Reb Meishu, of course, doesn't quote the Minchas Elazar. He didn't look at the Minchas Elazar, I assure you. But he said, they're not talking about microphone. These are all talking about Mikra Megillah, except for the Rebbe Mizmanim, who does talk about Seder Kedushin. That's very late, I mean, in terms of the tshuvas they gave you. They both say that you can be Yitzim Mikra Megillah on a microphone. It's not a kol havara. It's a kol odom, you can be Maitzi. Then comes the Mikroi Kodesh, who says it's a sofer, followed by the Chazon Ish, who uses a loshen efsher kishemeya mamish. So that's the middle sheet, sofer. Sofik, Efshar, is that the same? Not the same. I call it the same. Then comes Reb Shloime Zalman and Reb Moshe Sternbuch. Reb Moshe Sternbuch's Loshin is Lanias, they talk about Chazon Ish. Chidush Godel Vein Ani Mevin, they say. That's in the fourth volume of Antuvus Vanogis, Boroshik Yavanti. I have been saying for years that I have the biggest idea of what Reb Moshe and Mitzvah Elazar are talking about. It makes no sense to me. But I was tailored in the Chatas Nurim called Mada, that I know how a microphone works. And that is that if you talk in a microphone, the people out there do not hear a human voice. A microphone is not a megaphone. A megaphone simply amplifies the human voice. It causes the sound waves to back up, bang against one another, and what you hear is a human voice. A microphone is a lot worse than a kol havara. It's not even an echo. You talk into a microphone, the voice causes a piece of latex to vibrate, and that piece of latex produces more waves, and those come out the other side. What comes out the other side is not a magnified or amplified wave that went in. If you use a megaphone, it's your wave that comes out. It's a beria chadosha bolakan. On Shabbos and Yontef, maybe it's somebody. I'm joking, I'm facetious. You can't see how badly can this be. But it's not the same voice. It's a bria chadosh, it's a poni chadosh, it's bolakan. I don't understand at all how you can call this a human voice. Now, you'll find even in the Rebbe Mizmanim, some material he gave you, if the people around can hear you without the microphone, so you have 10 people who heard, and the chosn can hear without the microphone, everything is fine. Again, I'm not an engineer, and I have done this. I have tried to experiment, not under a chuppah, but I get microphones often enough. On more than one occasion, I have stood at a microphone and done an experiment. Most of the time, when I speak on a microphone, I cannot hear myself talk. I hear the microphone, not myself. I can move away from the microphone, and you won't hear the microphone either, because I'm no longer talking through the microphone. If I find the right spot, I'll hear Trey Colton. I'll hear the microphone and I'll hear myself. And I know Aidi Dechvivi, Trey Kolir Mishtami. It's Aidi Dechvivi, you know, the wife wants to hear her husband in the sukkah. So she's machavin to listen to him. I'm not sure the machosid is machavin, even Naniach, that they're right, that you can hear the Masad of Kedushin without the microphone, but they can certainly hear the microphone too. Is this chosin a big enough London to know they're supposed to be listening to the Masad of Kedushin be made to him and not being listening to the microphone? The Asor Shamim certainly aren't. And in most cases, I suspect very strongly that the Chosin can't hear the Masadar Kedush either, that he hears the microphone and nothing more. It depends where they're standing, how far away from the microphone, what the application of the mic is, v'chule. I strongly urge people not to use a microphone for Siddur Kedushin. I know that people out there are using it. The Ksuba you can read on the microphone. But the Birkas Erisin, the Birkas Nisuin, turn the mic off, what's the big deal?
Let me just say the same would be true for the Sheva Brochus.
Same for the Sheva Brochus.
After benching.
Absolutely, it's all the same.
I remember I tried it, I let down my guard and they stuck it in then, so.
Yeah, take it, who needs it? And it's, yeah.
The shomim respond the main to a brother, they hear over a microphone.
Yes, it's no worse than Alexander should have been trying when he stood with the suder. The microphone's my suder. I'm making a bracha, and unless the chosin can't hear me, in which case it's a bracha levatol. Yeah, but assuming that the chosin is hearing me, the people out in the back there, what difference does it make? So the microphone is waving the suder back and forth. It's an acoustical suder. So they're answering, oh, maybe the bracha is there.
How about the davening, if the shatz is using
it? I don't think a shliach tzibur should be using a microphone. Megillah microphone is no good. So chazor hashatz on a microphone. What's the chazor hashatz for? Where the chazor shemi? What's it then?
Could the shemim say amen to the
Again, my problem is this a bracha levatol? If it's a bracha levatol, you can't say amen. And chishishani, then it may well be. But if they're tzasor shaming, who got standing around the omen, and they're ivy dechvivi, they're listening to every word, then the people in the back can certainly say omen.
That's by the Sima Shah. So
I know the Sima Shah. I told you people what people do. Well, when I am at a chuppah and they make the Birkas Eris Nisun on a microphone, I don't ask for Amen. Yeah.
So, I just want to know if the speaker, if the speaker's on the microphone right here, if they're in the back.
I don't care where the speakers are.
No, what I'm saying is you're getting feedback back from the microphone, which is what you're telling me you're hearing ultimately.
Yep.
So you're saying that feedback is also not a call, that feedback is not your voice bouncing back through the thing.
Wherever you use a microphone, a radio, a telephone, or a television set, you are not hearing a human voice. Ever. There is not a guy ever. You can hear the human voice in addition, maybe, but what comes out of the mic isn't the human voice. It's a Dover portion. That's a Baruch Hashem, actually, I didn't say with what they call in Yiddish back saying there until I found it, Moed Nuzman. But if he says it, so I'm quoting him. Yes.
So a chosin kala, would that happen? They should stand next to another chosin kala without a microphone later. To hear the brachas again.
Well, first of all, it seems to be machlekes hapeskim. I'm not going to tell you to make the brachas over again if Ramesh said you're a yitzah. Comes out of the brachah levatol. If I don't understand Ramesh, so I don't understand what I'm supposed to do. Midisophically in Africa.
And that's the same with Megillah. That was called choice of Megillah.
For Megillah, so I tell you to read over again without a brachah. That's the big deal, right? I mean, I don't think anybody should. I'm not aware that people actually read a Megillah on a microphone. If they do, don't tell me about it. But they have Ramesha said so. Okay? You know, in the chuppah, it's been taken for granted already. Don't ask me why. If you ask most Masadri Kedushin what's going on here, they'll tell you they never thought about it. No? Sliasikadaita! He knows what people are doing out there. It becomes a pella to them when somebody suddenly doesn't. Okay, no, yes.
And is that also for Slichos?
Slichos?
You're
giving me. Well, anybody with anything. You give them to everybody saying themselves. What the hell's he doing? He's telling you when to say you give them this, no? What are, yes. Kaddish! How many Yesh Meirava? But the Slichos? Let the Chazan gargle on the mic all he wants. What makes the difference?
Yeah.
It's not being made to anybody with anything.
Just the
Kaddish, yeah, Kaddish, Boruch Hu, Chazor Es HaShas, Boruch Hu, yes.
So that means to say that the Seal HaShas, whoever was the Shliach Tzibur, they told him beforehand that he should have an Adover.
They did not ask me. I have no idea what they were doing. If they would have asked, they should have been told to get 10 people to stand near the chazan and to listen to him carefully.
But it's very difficult.
Yeah. It's almost impossible. Work it out in advance. If you work it out in advance, it is possible. You have to be able to work it out. That's all. For practice. You've got the hole for the whole day. Now let them stand there, testing 1, 2, 3, and figure out where they can hear him without hearing the call, in addition at least to the microphone, where it's capable to hear him. If they're 10 feet away, they can't hear him. If they're standing right next to him and they want to hear him, chances are that they will be able to. If they try. Okay. There were people who were perturbed at the Seal HaShas. But the people who were perturbed weren't the people who were asked. If they asked anybody, I have no idea. Maybe they had 10 people listening. That's not my problem. Okay? Now, we're all ready for the Birkas Erisim. Asher kitshonu mitzvayis v'tzivonu al aroyis v'os alonus arusayis v'italonus ansuyis lono adei upo v'kidushin. What does the Aroyos have to do with Seder Kedushin, Kedas Meshav Yisrael? That's a major problem. I give you two shuvs in the Sam Sefer. In one shuv, the Sam Sefer says that Ervo, Al HaAroyos, the word Ervo comes from the verb Mem Ayin Reish, which he says means Kiruv Bosor or Dibuk Bosor. And he says that's why in Loshen Chazal you have the word of Bia for a mitzvah, which is totally in Gemar Bia. And for Isurin, they talk about Heoro. He says it's the same word. It's Loshen Ervo, it's Dibuk Bosor, and it's not Gemar Bia at all. Okay? That's his derivation. La'aniyas daiti, if you're going to use that kind of etymology, it's not exactly a loshin sagi nohar, and mine isn't either, but once the Chassam Sefer said it, I don't know why I can't use mine. I would suggest that it comes from not from mem ayin reish kiruv basar or dibuk basar, but ayin reish hey, which is loshin irui, which means asher kitshon mitzvos divono al ho ejaculations. Tells me which bias are mutter and which bias aren't mutter. Vasa lona sarusa is bias also sarusa. Has nothing to do with the erva ksuva batayra. If that's the etymology, because that's exactly how the Sam Sefer only has a different dikduk. He says it's mem ayin reish, which is kira bosser. Chon mitzvaysa betzivonu al dibuk bosser. And some dibuk bosser is also with an arusa, when the su it's mutter. The Sam Sefer then has a second shuv. He says.
So Pshat is to explain it in a positive way, that
no, because with erva, it would be psulichitun. That's not what I'm talking about here. So Sam Sefer says, not psulichitun. Shek Shom says, one of Allah raised, it's on bia, in one form or another. Yes, the maisa bia. Some maisa bia are also, and some are mutter. And this is now going to become mutter. That's what the bracha is about for the Sam Sefer. The second pshat, he says, that I should show the misleis of tzivonu al ha'arroyos, that it comes because of Shem Yisro Ach Es Achesai. That's why they created all kinds of Isurim, including that the Yisur of Poni Habo Al Hapnuyim. Asher Kitshon says it's Savono Al Haroyes. We are afraid of Shem Yisro Ach Es Achesai, therefore we have an Yisur Pnuyim. And the Baruch is Yisur Pnuyim. Now we're going to take it away with Chupa and Kiddushin. The Brisker Rav had a totally different shot. The Rizkarov says that it's a Birkas Hidoa, Shekhashom Yisrael Sivono al Ha'aroyos. There are royos that are consanguineous, they come because they are blood relatives, and others, like Achis Ishtai, they come only Ayidei Kupo Vikidushin. The Rosh's Kasher, the Rabban's Kasher, how can Yankee Levinu have Shtei Achoyos? So Reb Chaim's terrace was the simplest of all truths. You can't have an achis ishtoi unless you have ishtoi. And there was no ishus before Matan Torah. Ishus is metaphysics. It was invented at Har Sinai. And they weren't two. It wasn't achis ishtoi before. So this is the Birkas Hadot. Asher Yitzchon Mitzvonu al Ha'arayis. All the Ha'arayis that come from Chupa V'Kiddushin. This is the Sheva V'Yidoi for all of those arroyos, which come from chupa the kiddushin. Yes. Okay. Now, so that's, you know, that's the nusach of the bracha. Now, in addition to the nusach of the bracha, I think there are one or two other points that I should make, particularly for people who find it necessary to translate. I have nothing against translation. No reason why the kahal shouldn't understand what's going on. Only be very careful. Don't translate until after the chosen has drank from the wine. And number two, don't translate the Shem Malchus. Don't, you know, the English laz is a nusach of a bracha for all purposes of halacha, and it's a bracha vatola. To recite the English translation is absolutely awesome. The translation doesn't have to be literal. Blessed art thou, all I know, king of the universe is good enough. Forget about the Shemus. Leave the Shemus up. It's easy enough done. That's not the, and no big problem. And also, as everybody knows, if you're being makri v'chosn bari abekadeshes, you're not supposed to say li, because it's near as if he's your shliach to be makari shenishi. After all, he's a parody of what you're saying. You're telling him what to do, and he's doing it. You said li, so he means li for you. Okay, everybody should know that. That's, you know, pretty much all of it. So we've got now, we're finished with the Birkas Erisin, and now we've given some to the Chosin and the Kala. We already spoke about Moli Lugmov. If somebody's drinking Moli Lugmov, then you've got the Shir, but you also have a little bit of a problem. And that's why you have the Pnei Shu in the package together with some other things. There's Machlokes HaPeskim with regard to Birkas Erisin needs a case altogether. If it needs a case like Birkas Nisuin, then, or it's for most Peskim, Birkas Nisuin needs a kais. If so, the Ber Pri HaGofen is like the Ber Pri HaGofen of Kiddush, and the Mevorech doesn't have to be Toyim himself. Just like he's being Metzi with the Mekadosh HaShabbos, he's being Metzi somebody else with the Ber Pri HaGofen. However, if it's not Toyim kais, then it's a plain, simple, garden variety Birkas HaNenin, and you can't be Metzi somebody with the Birkas HaNenin unless you're Toyim yourself. That's why this is Netziv. I think Lalochi is differently, but he's the one who is Meirer it. Kiddush of Friday night, the Makadish doesn't have to drink at all. Kiddush of the morning, what we call Kiddush Rabbah, is this great Kiddush because it's nothing. There's only a Berbriya Gofen. The rest is not Kiddush. It's a Zogas. You don't have to say it. They were Machayiv you to drink wine with the Suda Shabbos. The Rambam, it was all three Sudas. Suda Shlishis also requires Yayin. Just the second Suda is Osir until you drink the wine. The third Suda isn't Osir without drinking wine before, because the matir of Achila was the Ber Priya Gofen of Shacharis. You can eat all day, but suddenly the mincha is going to become Osir. But it's a Ber Priya Gofen, it's a Ber Zaneni. You can't be made to somebody else with Kiddush. You don't drink the wine in the morning. So that's the Shaila with the Ber Priya Gofen, because there is something. It's not Tolan Akkais altogether, in which case you don't need Moy Lugmov. All in the Ber Zaneni. But then the Mavorech has to make the Broche. So this is the Reb Chaim, and I'm sorry you don't have the Afik Yom.
This is
the Afik Yom is in there.
Is this one?
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, so look at it. Why did I think it wasn't there? Okay, fine. He quotes, it was a Dayan in Minsk.
24.
Yeah, he says, Reb Chaim says, that the Rav should unobtrusively allow some of the wine to drip on his finger and lick it. That's te'ima. Alkoponim, that's enough of a shear of te'ima. And he does that in Ber Priya Gofen. And you'll find here, he says, he brings the Dayan in Minsk, who did it for Birkas Nisuin as well. Then he talks about Birkas Nisuin also. And I don't want to enter into that in any great detail. Now, one other point I should make, somebody was familiar with that too. We take two separate cases for Erisin and Nisuin. You don't fill the case of Erisin for the very simple reason that the Chupas Nida, if you fill the case, the Chosin can't drink it the second time. You don't want to publicize it's the Chupas Nida. That's why all Rabbani take two cases. I don't know if you'll find it in the Kitzuri. Is it in the Kitzuri? You might not know.
They have other reasons also to have that.
Yeah, I know. If this is Chavilah, it's Chavilah. That's
what we call claim guilt. But I don't know. Maybe just part of my Messiah, but it, you know, to me it was mefursim that you have two separate cases. You shouldn't have any problems with the yisur of kiruv with an nishtoi nidah. Okay, now that takes us to the sheva brachos, I presume. And here I've given you some material in the here the chosen drank from the kais. And now you're going to give it to the, and then the cow drink, because we give it to the cow the drink, right? So now you're going to give the same case back to the chosen. You put a little more wine in, it's not enough. So that's why we fill up a second case, everybody. I mean, it's known. At least I took it for granted that it was known. All right, now, the page, where is it? Sheva Brochus. Page 152, page 153, it's a Yotha Lalei. It was, you know, it has become, it's recent. Karhadina Talia, I never saw it. Suddenly, every Tom, Dick, and Harry who can't say a Hebrew is under the chuppah saying one of the Sheva Brachos. They seems to become, not just, before it used to be kibudim for rabbonim, whatever it was, but you had to have, you had to give everybody something, so you gave them the Sheva Brachos. Now it's become the uncles, the grandfathers, the cousins, who knows who. They're all making some of the Sheva Brachos, whether they know how to make a bracha, they don't know how to make a bracha, whether they're exactly anoshim or kobodim or not. It's, you know, frankly, it didn't sit well with me. Until Baruch Hashem, I found a tshuva of, was a Reb Chaim Palagi, the law of Yofa Lalev, and I even marked some of it for you. He says, Noegin sha'chocham ha'kol o'yagobl sh'bekol imi chocham ba'kol mevorech vav brochus. He's quoting a Knesset HaGdolah. Hatam b'vnei sh'gobl mevorech. Okay, that's nice. Void motzinu shakodish boch ubirach nisuin lo odom vechave. The Rabbeinu Shalala made the first Sheva Brachos. So in Kosev Avraham ben Arambam, vaminik haposhet shirchar sekhar set, etc. Now he says, he brings a Zohar. At the time of odom vechave, vavorach kim chazan hamavorach lekala. The Rabbeinu Shloim was the Chazan HaKnesses, is Mevorach L'Krala. The Sheva Brachos, he says that you see that the Rabbeinu Shloim did it himself. So you have a whole Zohar explaining what the Sheva Brachos are. It's a replica of the Brach of the Rabbeinu Shloim. And then he says, "Mi yubin shachazna kol shakol hu nim shesham hu birch nishgod lamavarech loy kemoi shenegin af shabitzas mekemis dekasher nimtzo chof chazonim oy chazn hamisayeh why chof I don't know a mishur rateva shachazn hagodol kiru haksuba the chazn hagodol who's the ksuba the digit yet I suppose shebo betchilo." One of the Mishari were the Chazan Shendi. Yeh Mishiyeh Mevorach Hazayin Brachos Kishachos Vakal Tachas Achupe Vafim HaKotn Yeshli Kol Oriv Yeser. Even if this Kotn's got a nicer voice, Lein Ochel Asis Kain Lefi HaMeduber Shor Kishabah Kodesh Baruch L'Nesui Odo V'Chave. Bershon didn't come himself. Now, he was Kaviyochel the Rav, but the Rav also came with Chazonim and Mishayorim. He came bo imay kama malchei moray l'shayor kenoyim hasmuskosan. Rav Bershon didn't show up without Shoshavinim. He also had a band for Odom Kaveh. V'im kolze hu birech birkas nesuin al kigol Hashem mikol. And therefore he says, so Rav Hakoz, Marbitz, Teir Beisikile, Leino Lavor, Kashrisim, Isarav, etc., etc. He said, it's, the Rav should be doing it, not the Chazan, not all these other people. You have it for whatever it's worth in terms of ammunition. We're way over time. Just one other thing that I will mention very briefly, I won't talk about it. But again, Bavinisenu Harabim, we spoke a little bit when we talked about the Ksuba, about the Ksuba Vabulo, and that's Sheva Brachos, the whole week. For basically Bali Tshuva, who comes to the Avaryonim, don't have Sheva Brachos.
But if she was a Bu'ula and the Chosin himself had other relations before, you've got problems with Shefer Brochus during the entire period. I gave you number one, the Nei Yud and Sam Sefer. Those are the major Shitas. And the Chuvus Ranogis, that's where Moshe Sternbuch, who here, correctly, points out that Shleitinel Del is Bifnei HaShavim because of COVID HaBrias, v'chule, he should be Semech on the whatever coolness exists. Now you have to go figure out which coolness exists. And that's not for 25 words or less, but he's willing to be Semech on the coolness for cases in which they're shyless with regard to Shever Brach. It's called Shiva. Now, what's the point of all of this? Now, the point of all of this is a little bit of Chochem Einav Beresh. There's no Chiyuv to have Shever Brach for a whole week. It's very nice. And of course, in Kabbalah, but sometimes the Chosn Kal don't really want it. And they're doing it only to be Yitzhak for the family, to be Yitzhak what they think is a Chiyuv Godel, that is a Chok Leyav, or who knows what. Now, in some cases, if they want to go on a honeymoon, they should be encouraged to go on a honeymoon. You know, get the gezuntah. Ordinarily, you tell people don't go on a honeymoon because you're going to have Shavuot brachos. But if the Shavuot brachos are only going to create shailas, let them go on a honeymoon. It's obvious to shailas. There's no dichy of COVID abrius, cool, whatever. You know, obviously, people are going to figure it out. You don't want to do that either. But for that, you're abodim. And what the Chichi Leif calls the Chochom. And the Chochom is Eino Varosha. Thank you.
Those who didn't get the